So let us now, we've been anticipating this through all the readings and we're here. Let's move to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And then we'll skip over to 31b through 35. You can find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 101. And I'd welcome you to follow along with the reading. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that this hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, if you did a quick rundown in your head of the stories that we consider throughout the church year, I believe that on very few other occasions during that year are we so directly and completely drawn into the sweep of salvation history as we are on this night of Holy Thursday, or Maundy Thursday, if you will. On this night especially, we feel solidarity with all of those people who have gone before us, people who have tried to follow the teachings and example of God in all of God's forms among us. Think about the readings for tonight. In that second Hebrew Bible lesson from Exodus, we go back to the time when God was working through Moses to try to save the Israelites from their enslavement to the Egyptian Pharaoh. On this special night, God had very specific instructions for the chosen people to follow in order that they would be ready to flee into the night. The people were told to make the sign of lamb's blood on their doorposts and on the lintels of the houses where they were staying, so that God would know to pass over their homes and not destroy every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals, with the plague that God would bring that night. This was the original Passover. And God told the people, "This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." And they did just that. For literally hundreds of years, the chosen people observed Passover as a perpetual ordinance. Devout Jewish people continue to do so to this very day. Their Passover meal is called the Seder. In the Gospel lesson from John, we hear the story that we probably all know as the Last Supper. Jesus was having dinner for the very last time with his disciples, those 12 men that we often refer to as the apostles. It was a special dinner because it was the last time that Jesus would eat with them, but it was also their observance of Passover. Even after Jesus had left this earth, the people of the first century church were reminded by Paul in Corinthians of their responsibility of remembering the Passover meal that Jesus had shared with his disciples. And it is directly from this part of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians that Mark read that we have our current communion liturgy. And so tonight, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and every first Sunday of the month when we likewise celebrate Holy Communion, we are dutifully remembering the original Passover, as well as the Passover that Christ shared at his Last Supper. We are following along in that sacred tradition as God Almighty instructed the Israelites and as Jesus instructed his followers before he was persecuted and crucified on Good Friday. Because of God's Holy Spirit among us, right here and right now, we find meaning and sustenance in communion. In those simple elements of bread and grape juice, these are among God's many gifts to us, sacraments that are holy and life-giving. In a few minutes, I want you to listen carefully to the words of our liturgy as I consecrate these everyday foods of bread and grape juice in order that they will symbolize for all of us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, when he gave his very human life so that we will have abundant and eternal life. There is yet another important meaning to this night of remembrance and sacrament. As we have been drawn into the sweep of salvation history, we are also pulled along through the evolution of God's covenant with God's people and with God's expectations of those who answer God's call. Think about the Hebrew Bible. At first, God spoke to God's people through prophets like Abraham and Moses. God told the people that they should be merciful to their enemies. The early laws talked about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Retribution should be just and fair. Think about the Ten Commandments. But later, God spoke through the person of Jesus Christ. God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus taught his followers that they were to love God wholly and completely, and they were to love other people as well as they loved themselves. This became known to us as the Golden Rule: do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But Jesus took it one major step farther when he told the people to love their enemies as much as they love their friends. Think about the parable of the Good Samaritan and the talk of who really is our neighbor after all. God's expectations of us continued to change. Today is known in the church as Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday. Neo was asking about this word earlier. That word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum. That means a mandate or a commandment. So when we use this description of Maundy Thursday, we are calling attention to the new commandment that Jesus gave to his apostles and in turn to each of us. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." My brothers and sisters, on that night of Passover, during that Last Supper, Jesus set a completely new standard in humility by washing the feet of his followers. Now, think about that. I know in many churches they do this. You come up and the pastor washes your feet and then that moves on. Perhaps you wash somebody else's feet. Now that idea might be to our sensibilities embarrassing when we think about it. But to those disciples, this was nothing short of scandalous. After he had washed their feet, Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Then Jesus forevermore set a new standard for the love that he expects from each of us. Jesus asks us to love each other and every one of God's children just as Jesus loves each of us. And then to be humble in our action. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have this kind of love for one another." I pray that it will be so. Amen.